Ladies and gentlemen, the Jimson and Roscoe Show, episode number 18. And today we are joined by J.S. Scott, a.k.a.
Manuka.
Yay! Hey.
Come on.
As always, don't forget to like and subscribe and smash that bell button, you fucking bellends.
You're not bellends. You're not bellends.
So... Jay, yes, do you want us to address you? Do you want us to address you as Jay?
Yeah, or? Jay's cool, man.
Yeah.
Or do you want us to call you Manuka Honey?
I reckon.
Is Jay that where it comes from? Where does the name come from?
Manuka. Right, so basically.
Oh, no, wait there.
Wait there. Before we start, three good things that happened to you today.
Three good things. Right. Three good things. I woke up. That's a good thing. I meditated. Got my mind in the right place. And third thing, good thing that happened to me. I got a McDonald's coffee, bruv.
Days.
Yeah, it's little things like that that keep me happy.
The small things in life, mate. And that's what it is about the small things in life. The more extravagant things, I think they just fucking, they're cumbersome, aren't they? We look at them like we want them. It's like the mind of a stoic, isn't it? It's like you don't learn to love the things that you have, not the things you don't, like these big materialistic things.
Yeah, man.
Trust me.
Yeah, Manuka, honey. Not Manuka, honey.
Manuka.
Manuka,
bruv.
Manuka, where they come from?
Manuka, you.
So basically, I was looking, so a lot of people know me as Smokey B.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon probably the last 4 years where I've been studying, I took the time off and I was like, it's been contemplating it for a while. Like, you know, I've been thinking, you know, I want to change my name, want something new, something fresh, I'm at a different like space in my life. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's a lot more grown up than Smokey B.
It is, bruv. Like, the whole Smokey B concept, I was like talking to like you guys, Nick Christie, Crackchat, talking with him about it. And I said, like, you know, I reckon if I come back as Smokey B, it's kind of like I'm still in that place when I was like, you know, I started DJing at 13. That was me then. Right now, I'm in a completely different headspace. I needed something that was organic. And I thought, we were looking at loads of different names, thinking like, oh, okay, what could I do? What was this? What was that? And Manuka works because with me, I don't know if you've seen me DJing, but I jump around a lot and I'm very energetic. So I thought like with Manuka being like the honey, a natural energy source, that's kind of where I went with it, bruv. You know what I mean?
Yeah, rude. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I recently just did a tab of it, man. I got ill when I was camping the other week. And, yeah, my throat was fucked. And Manuka, man. It's pricey. I don't like, it's not something that I could sustain and do every month. But whenever I get like a throat or a cough, whatever, Manuka, man. It's fucking good. The antiseptic in it is.
It's good stuff, man.
But Manuka as well, I like that name. It's like it sounds very minimalistic.
Mm. Sounds tribal as well.
Yeah, tribal, minimalistic. So what sound are you going with at the moment? Is it altered or what
in production wise, you mean, or just like in, so in general, I think like when I DJ, obviously it's quite filthy. Like I like to come with something real, and that's what I mean. If you think of like, if you're kind of like relating it to Manuka being like tribal that you just said, I guess you could kind of use that because I like jungle, I like drum and bass, mash
jump up.
But yeah, jump up's me, mate. That's me all over. So,
you're a jump up, man.
Having it.
I mix
the two. So I got jump up, and then I also mix it with like something that works. So like, I played back a couple of years ago. I played at the Black Swan, obviously before the lockdown stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when you play it there, it's a bit. Oh, I don't know if it's like going to work with the jump up. So I mixed it up with like Neurofunk, jungle, and jump up.
Mm.
And one guy came up to me afterwards and was like, "You know what, bruv? Fucking hate jump up, but the way you mixed it with what you did,
okay,
it worked.
Yeah, so, six.
I like it, man. I spent a good amount of time at raves, like mosh and ancient, like you mean.
Yeah.
But like recently, I've just like
liquid, man.
Oh yeah, I've really got into liquid. I don't. The trouble with me with the drum and bass world is apart from your big names like your Mampy Swifts and like you mean, it's like I don't know enough
about that
people.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where Spotify is fucking or platform of your choice is beautiful because it's one instant where I'm saying I like an algorithm that is working for me.
Yeah, sure.
Because you can like, once you start listening, your listening habits, it will start putting more of that shit in front of you.
Yeah.
And I've been whacking on a load of liquid playlists. And I'm even in the thing of like thinking I want to start making a few liquid tracks.
Yeah, nice.
But, yeah, I don't know where to start.
basically, that's what I'm making at the minute. So this liquid. Is what I mean. It's funny. Like, I'm
there we go, every ladies and gentlemen. Manuka and Jimson here, collab coming up.
it's like, that's what I mean. I've always been in this kind of headspace where, like, when I DJ, I like the energy because I feed off it. Mm. Like, it's natural to me. If you're there playing, like, everyone, I get that vibe where I'm like, right, it's working now. And I'll feed off their energy so I can play. And then I might be like, I'll see a little pocket there and I'm like, okay, they're vibing with this, they might be vibing with that, so let's try and mix it all together. And I'll try and keep like an equal balance across the whole field.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But in production wise, I enjoy making liquid.
Yeah.
Because I'm quite calm.
In my mind, because like when I say whenever I go Raven's drum and bass back in the day, it would always be fucking in your face, let's fucking have it. But like, I don't want to fucking sit at home and listen to that.
No.
Time and place, innit?
This is it.
Like what we were speaking to on the Jinxed episode when we were saying like the music being the amplification of your mood.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some people in life that are fucking jump up 24/7, but like, do you mean like most people are like, they've got
levels
and on off switches.
I did, to be honest with you, like ages ago, I used to do parties at mine on Friday night. And it was like, I literally drove my neighbours away from playing it. Like, they actually moved away because they were just like, they couldn't stand it.
You were on that programme. What was it called? Fucking back in the day.
Neighbours from hell.
Neighbours from hell.
Yeah, should have been one of them.
I think that's what's going to happen to mine as well. Like, they rent anyway. I own mine so they can move.
I own this land.
That's what it's like, though.
So, let's go back.
Okay.
Where did it start for you? Like, was drum and bass your first love? Was it something that led you into that? Like, what about your parents? What did they listen to? Like, let's go back. Like,
back. Okay, so I think if we're going right back, I reckon I'm more hip hop.
Mm.
If I went right to the start, I was always hip hop. I used hip hop as a vent. So like, you know, shit went on when I was younger. With me, old man leaving and that was like my vent, you know, like Tupac, for example. Every single song you can listen to.
We had Jinxed there, and it's like, it's the reason I'm laughing then is like the similarities of the people our age, of their birth of music.
It's mad, mate. Like, because I can still listen to his music now, and it relates and it resonates, and you know, like, that's what I mean. Back then, it was always like, that was my vent, like old school sort of boom bap hip hop. So I'd say that's where it all started for me, and then. Fast forward, kind of get to that sort of teenage years, went to secondary school, and then it's like I kind of got introduced. I remember my mate, the first time he came around with a CD, and it was like One Nation.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was the first time I heard drum and bass, and I was like, what the fuck's this? I like that energy. And so like my mate, Backlash, he was the MC. I'd always DJ, so we kind of picked up from there, bought a pair of like Citronic turntables, with the little punch buttons on the mixers, like... I don't know, a little, what do you call it? Like a painter's desk, just in like an Onyx. And it all started there, basically. Everything started with like, every day I was coming home from like school, mixing. I was coming home at lunchtime sometime, just having a little like mix, coming home, swapping vinyls with people. And it was like, that was like exciting time. So remember Drop Records?
Yeah, Bath?
Yeah. Like every weekend, even my missus can vouch for this. We'd come in the Bath, she'd go do a bit of shopping, I'd be there all day.
Yeah.
I remember, was it Adam Slack? He'd be in there. And you have all these dubs, it's like all these white labels, and I was like, oh, sick. So it's like, I can guarantee, like, the parties I said I was doing on mine on the weekends back then, I was like, all these new tunes. Mm. I was just like, yeah, I got all this stuff, no one knew about it, and it's just a pure white label. I was like, so I think that's where it birthed, I think, my love for, like, drum and bass. And that sound, and it was like, the DJing side of things, I think it's more so the mixture of just two songs that you could, like, it blew my mind when I knew I could, like, change the bass line on this song and turn it down on this song, it could make a completely different vibe. What is that?
Do you, going back to the white labels and that, do you feel that the internet has ruined the exclusivity and the underground in that sense?
A little bit. I think a little bit, but then you can also be a bit sneaky, can't you? Because you can have a whole memory stick of just songs no one's got nowadays. So it's kind of like, I suppose if you're going to go for like a digital format, that would be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
you could just turn up to a club or a festival or whatever, and it's like no one's got
encrypted.
Yeah, there you go.
Encrypted files.
Like most DJs, it's like, you know, when we had Predator at the club, man was playing dubs. It's they're all dubs. Do you know what I mean? Directly from the artist, that they may be given to three DJs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how that's, so that's, but then that is more in the DJ world rather than in the listeners world.
Yeah. You know? Because it, but then it's like the struggle of an upcoming DJ.
Yeah.
The excitement of trying to get hold of these things.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
yeah, you're there, you're talking about a DJ and a producer who's an established name.
Yeah.
So it's well and good saying, well, he can go and do that. But
you just have to become a not, sick DJ.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, but then it's like sourcing these things, like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, back in the day, like if you know where to source it and you know where their white labels are and you know what record shops are selling them and you know when it, when the deliveries are coming in that week and you're in there and you're hot on it and there's only been a press of 100 and they've gone between this many places and you got one.
100%. Like,
100%,
bro.
It's,
yeah, I think, to be fair as well, that's kind of what makes you unique, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, if you're turning up with all these songs no one's got, you're more likely to be that unique DJ on the set where you're like, oh, I remember him because he had this and this and this. So it's always like, but then that's kind of like the beauty of like producing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like if you've got your own music.
Yeah, you make your own remixes.
This is it. You can come, exactly, you can come up with remixes. You've got like fresh new material. I think that's what keeps it exciting, sort of thing. But yeah, so kind of lost where I was in the whole thing.
You were at...
buying dub plates.
No, we went on from that. You went on to blowing your mind, learning how
That's right. Yeah, so you kind of get to that point and then I met up. So I was playing night, obviously going to like these illegal raves and stuff like that. I think the first proper club I played in was in Froom. It's called Wheatsheaves. Do you guys know that one?
No.
It's just down like on the main sort of hill. And that was through a guy I knew called Ed Klink, also known as Climax. He got me on. I was only about 15 then, so it's kind of like going into this club. And like I said, that was when, because he invited me over to the studio. And that was kind of like, right, this is like your step in now. You're in there now. Started playing and he enjoyed the tune selection. So that's kind of what got me in. So using the dubs was like, he's like, what'd you get that? What's that? And I was like, oh, you know, don't really want to give up. But that kind of got me in. And then from then, basically, it just started like a slow progress, started moving. I got to, I think, 2013. I played at Random Concept. So that was sick. I ended up getting, so they had like a massive competition going across the whole country. And it was only like five DJs out of the entire country sort of got through to play at Roadmender in Northampton. Me and Joe Kudon, MC Kudon there. So he went for his EMC. Basically, we had to like sort of battle it out, I guess, at the Blue Mountain. I turned up. I remember I played at the rugby club in Caenham just before, so that was kind of my warm-up. I was like, yeah, this is sick. I can get myself ready. And I moved up to the Blue Mountain. We went there. And it was just like, I remember someone come up to me and they're just like, oh, what are you playing? I was like, I got to jump up. I was like, yeah. And they were like, oh, sick. Because everyone was just kind of at that stage where they weren't really moving. I was like, so I come on. And I was just like, because with me, man, I just like to give energy.
Blue Mountain's a very jump up club as well.
Exactly. You know, so like, it worked.
Yeah.
And then, so I played that, smashed that. And then obviously they'd done the announcement that, you know, I went through and I had to go play at the Roadmender. That was fucking scary, man. Like, because that's the first time I actually played on like a huge stage and I was like, this is fucking beyond me now. I'm like, it all happened so quick, which was sick because, you know, I didn't win it, but to have the experience of actually playing out at that level on like a big system, and it's kind of those things you look at, we watch DJs and you're like, oh, I'd love to be there, and it actually happened. So I kind of got to that point. And then I'd say from there, in my head, I was like, if I want to go anywhere further now, I can DJ, but I can't produce. So I was like, I need to learn to make music. So I had a little dabble on like Fruity Loops and stuff. It was just nothing really. It's just like putting loops together, putting little bits of like this and that. I thought, right, fuck it. I'm going to go and study. So I took like a massive like step because I hate like, I mean, like a lot of people hate school. To me, that was quite like a big thing to sort of step back into it. At like an older age, so I was at like, what, 25 then? So in my head, like a lot of people I talk to, they're always saying, oh, do you reckon I'm too old? And it's like, you're never too old, man. You're never too old.
It was fucking, what's her face? You wrote Harry Potter. What's her name?
J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling. She didn't like write, like, didn't get like, well, I don't know whether she wrote it, but she didn't, wouldn't until like way on in life. They always use people like that examples. Like, she was like, 40s, 50s, whatever she freaking was, like before she, like, do you mean? Before that, she was just a single mum, like, do you
mean? Man, like, it's never too late. And, like, you know, a lot of people are asking me, like, you know, like that first, because I went to DBS College at Star, done like an access course, because I went into the higher education side and I seen like all the big desks and all this. And I'm like, oh, this is where I want to go. And then I spoke to someone and they said, oh, you need to have like certain grades to get into this part. I was like, all right, cool, so I had to do that. And then it was the access course, so I had access to higher education. So I'd done a whole year of just like, it was like 2 years crammed into 1 year. And man, that one, if I was to ever like recommend someone to do something, I'd highly recommend just doing that piece because you learn so much, like the foundations of music and like production. And even like even the technical side, you learn so much from just those, what, it's not even like a whole year, is it really? It's like, what, September to like April or whatever.
How many days a week was that then?
That was
full-time, or was it part-time?
Pretty much, yeah, it was full-time. And it was like, because I was working like three jobs at the same time, working three jobs, doing college. It was so full-on, but it's like the hours, luckily I was working in the warehouse at the time, and they allowed me to sort of like do mornings, afternoons and nights. So it was just like full-on for a bit. But I think, because when you've got your mind set onto like, right, this is where I'm going, this is what I want, you just push through, don't you? You make it work, you don't care.
So did you go into that for the production thing or for the engineering? Because you would like started going down the engineering route for a while.
That's right, man. So mainly, so this, that's what I mean. So I went into that because I wanted to learn to make music. But when you're in these places, I find they push you like, they're like, okay, you everyone goes there to make music, make beats, yeah, I'm going to make sick beats. But also at the same time, they push you kind of out of your comfort zone. And then I started exploring and like sound engineering and mixing. And I was like, this is cool. So then it's kind of going back to like where I was, where I was like, you can mix all this stuff together and it makes this. So it, to me, that was quite like the technical side of things. It really drew me in. And it's also like a career option. So I was like, oh, okay, I could probably do something with this now in the future. So I focused on that for what, those 4 years, pretty much. I kind of finished access, then went to uni. And that was kind of my main, like, right, I'm going to go here and just do mixing. So obviously then I was in, what, first year, second year, third year. Third year was like more of the bigger projects, what you're working on, bigger desks, like pushing boundaries. But I found last year, when I finished, I graduated in May. And I find that, I don't know, it's kind of like, I don't know whether it's just where I'd done it so much, but I kind of lost that like initial start. So I went there to make music for like DJing and playing out. And I got caught up a little bit in the engineering side, and I was like, it's fun, but I was also finding it was getting a bit tedious at times.
Mundane.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Was that because it was the what you were engineering?
Might have been. Like, I mean, it was lucky because I was able to choose what I was doing, but at the same time, like, my passion lies in, like...
Making music.
And
vibes.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Energy, where sometimes I was finding, like, you guys probably know what it's like when you're mixing. It's so, like, you're stuck in this little rabbit hole sometimes. You're like, and I just wasn't getting that buzz, which I would get from, like, making music.
Because, I'd really enjoy mixing my own stuff, but I can take too much time on it. And I find the trouble with it is... You jump from one thing to the other.
Yeah.
Where if you're in a creative flow of making something, and there's a double-edged sword to it. So it's like, productive-wise, you can be like, make the track, mix it, master it, boom, get it out. And that could take you a while. But then you've thrown yourself off because you're no longer in that creative stage anymore. And then you've got to go get back into creative stage. Then the downside to creating it all and then mix it. So say you went and created 15, 20 tracks. You've then got that fucking mammoth ass fucking task of fucking mixing 15, 20 tracks.
Exactly.
So it's like, what do you want to do? Do you want to do it? No. And it's like, you can get someone else. But then then you start looking, it's like, well, that costs loads of money. And it's like, I've got the resources and the tools to do it myself. And it's like, what's the way off? What's the fucking, and it's just.
I know what you mean, man. Like, and this is the thing, isn't it? Because you kind of like, I think if you do it all yourself, you're taking hats off, aren't you? So you're like, 1 minute you're the producer, then you're the mixer, then you're the master engineer. And I know people that do it, mate, and they get like wicked results. But at the same time, I don't know where I'm at the minute. It's like, all right, I'll just produce, I'll make the beat, and I'm going to send it now. I'll mix like to what I can. So this is the whole thing. Like, you know, going to uni, I got the fundamentals. I know what sounds good. I know what I can use. I know that, you know, if there's something not right, I can hear it. And then I can now send it to like someone who actually does it as a profession. And that's just going to give that extra like lift, you know? And then I'll probably then send it to like a master engineer. But yeah, I think to be fair, like, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't think there's a wrong way and there's not a right way of doing it.
No, it's not. No. It's completely, there are no rules, really, when it comes to music. It's art in it. It's a form of expression. The one of the interviews that always sticks with me is Dave Pensado talking to Noah Forty Shabib.
Yeah, okay.
So Drake's producer, for anyone listening who don't know who that is. The headlines, the track... It's Headlines, I think it was. It was on his second album, and it was a hit. I think it was number one or number two.
Okay.
And he was saying the string section in it. So okay. He was digitally clipping it, and he said he was cranking it, and he said it was fucking like distorting, and it was digitally. It was in the red, and it was clipping.
Yeah, it's not.
And he said his brain's telling him, no, 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 that's wrong. Yeah. You can't do that. You're not supposed to be doing that. Yeah. Digital clip, red, bad. Don't do it. Don't do it. And he says, but his emotion, his feeling, everything about it, that he heard the sound, it was right. Yeah. He was like, he had this like internal war of like head going, no, no, no. And like the heart saying, yes, 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 yes. Sounds good. And he kept it. And it's fucking like number one, number two hit. Like, there are no rules. It's like, as a general rule. Disclaimer, don't just fucking go redlining all your fucking channels, ladies and gentlemen.
You won't sound like
it
Drake.
It won't sound like that.
It ain't gonna work, man. It ain't gonna work.
But if you get an obscure string track and you're doing it and it sounds good, keep it.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's what I mean. You get taught all this stuff. So it's like that thing, and it's like, get taught the rules and break them. But it's like, you need to know
the rules before you can break them.
You know what I mean? Like you said, you can watch all this stuff, and then like you said, with the whole clipping thing, if you do it like through analog, you're gonna get so much nice harmonics, you're gonna get all this warmth and stuff. But I've seen people do it before, man, like that, you just see them like, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, it don't sound right. But it comes down to flavor, doesn't it? It's like, maybe that's what they want. It's a tough
and
one,
again, man. Every track is its own entity. It might work for like, don't like, I mean, it's like that just may work in that instance or whatever. I did read a study once that they'd done on the harmonics of the human ear, and they were saying why 80s and even 90s music sounds so much more pleasing on the ear.
Okay.
It's because the analog gear and the amount of analog harmonics they were using, and our ears have got, there's something in our ears that are more attuned to the analog warmth.
So that's why vinyl sounds better than digital.
Yeah, it's the warmth of it rather
vinyl
than the
so much better than
the coldness and the sterileness of the digital world.
Yeah.
So yes, it is. But that's why like people like Stephen Slate are fucking absolutely amazing, because they brought mic lockers. Fucking compressors, like Universal Audio as well, like what they've brought to people like us who sit in a fucking house with just a laptop.
Yeah, like the emulations.
And you can, the emulations are fucking like next level.
Oh. They're good. Like I've had people say to me they've tried like the compressors and they've tried like the actual hardware against the digital, and it's like you can hardly even tell it.
Yeah, I've seen the mic shows. Like, I've got the Slate ML1.
Okay, sick, yeah.
And I either use the U47 or I use the Sony 800 for my demo, two go-to mics. Depends what it is. Again, like for a U47, if I'm doing something a bit more dusty and a bit more vintagey vibe sounding and a bit more warmth, I'll use the U47.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I'm making something a bit more modern, then I'll use the 800.
Yeah, you want that high end, don't you? Like,
because the Sony 800 does, it just adds a fucking whole amount of like high-end EQ that you don't even have to EQ because it's the mic. Like,
this is it. I used to find out with the U87, man, like a lot of people when they used to come to the studio with me, like you kind of have your references there. It's like, what do you want to sound like? Do you want a bit of warmth? Do you want to sound crispy? But then I've had a few people, like me and Chris were talking the other day, and we were saying, you know, if you want, you can apply it in so many ways with different mics if you know how to use them properly. So if you want, like, say, for example, like a singing pyre, you know, apply something that's going to give that nice bright air on the sides and stuff, you know, and put it in there, and then use like, I don't know, say like SM7B, for example, you know, you're going to get a warm mid-range, aren't you? It's like you're kind of getting all these nice little areas, and then when you give it over to like the mix engineer, they've got so much more like of a palette to play with.
They say, don't they? They say the majority of the work's done in the recording.
It is, man, 100%.
You shouldn't need to be fucking mixing too much, or not mixing, shouldn't be needing to apply too much if it's been a good, well recorded song. I remember it was in Sound on Sound. I used to be a subscriber to Sound on Sound, and in one of the magazines there, he went to an orchestra, and I can't remember the guy's name who was recording the orchestra. So they went to go and witness the engineer record the orchestra, and I can't remember his name, but he's like world renowned, fucking one of the best in the game at recording orchestras.
Okay, cool.
And everything he done was mic placement, and you look at his and then they showed his Because they used to do a thing. Did you ever used to read Stand on Sound? They used to do a thing in there called Inside the Mix. And each month they would like take someone's track and they would like send them the Pro Tool session and all that. And they'd show like what they used and what things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And there was like a bit of EQ and a bit of EQ error. There was like no compression. No. Like didn't use any compression. Like, and it was all EQ here and there. And the mic placement. I just hit the mic. Everything was mic placement.
Yeah, yeah.
It was all where he'd placed the mics.
That's right.
And he just fucking made it sound good before it was.
You can also be clever with it, man. Like I know when I was at uni, it's like, you can like do the thing with the whole flipping the phase and that as well.
Mm.
Sometimes if you get like, cause you got to think in it when you're working like frequencies and stuff. If you find something that also sits in the same frequency range, but you're putting it in another placement, you're kind of like enhancing it at the same time, aren't you? You're just giving it that extra, because it's not like they're still fighting obviously for the space, but they're not fighting for that distance, I guess you could say. And you can just make, like you said, like you don't need to really get in there, be like surgical with it sometimes. It sounds so natural as well. It's just like these little, but that's like mixing, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
little steps here and there. That's all you need.
But then as well with that again, like, from a producing level, instrument choice. Like, do you mean? It's like, if you, what range is that instrument playing in?
Yeah.
Also, again, good, slightly different to recording. It would probably transfer as well. Like, if you're in a band, you've got like, you've got your instruments in a band that play shit at different frequencies. You've got your fucking rhythm guitar, you've got your bass guitar, you've got your fucking piano, and they're all playing different ranges.
Yeah.
Singer, but like, I find with a lot of like what people can do at home where they've got so many instruments at their disposal, they can just play a load of shit, but they keep it in the same range.
Yeah.
And that can be a fucking mixer's nightmare. It's like,
100%.
Put different parts in different places of song. But like, like again, if you've got a well-produced song with instruments in different ranges, again, for the world of an engineer, it makes it fucking so much easier, isn't it?
Oh, it's like, 100%.
Do you mix in mono?
Depends really. I've done it before. I've seen the thing with like Mix by Ali. I've seen he like basically collapsed everything. I think Dre does as well, and he puts everything in mono. I did one tune I mixed in mono and completely forgot I was mixed in mono, and I think I then put it out into stereo and I was like, whoa, fuck me. I got all this sound just like fucking poof. But they do say, don't they, if you can mix in mono and make it sound good, you're gonna make everything. You've given it a place, haven't you?
I mix everything in mono.
Yeah, man. It's
I mix it all in mono. So I set my pots and pans to where I want it, and then I boom, collapse it straight away to mono then. And back in January, I got the VSX, Slate VSX headphones.
Okay, cool.
Fucking
nice.
Game changer, mate. I'm a proper Slate fanboy, can you tell people? fucking, I got the headphones, and mate, they were a fucking game changer. Like, I sit there at my desk. I very rarely even put my speakers on.
Really?
They're that good. I just sit there and I go, right. So he's got these emulated World Studios. He's got the Archon Studios. He's got the NRG Studios. He's got his personal mixing studio.
Okay,
he's got
another one.
He's then got Howard Weinstein, I think his name is. He's got his mastering room. And you can listen to it. You can, for the flick of a switch, you can listen to it from the engineer's position or the client's position of the room.
That's
of
work.
You can then, from there, it gets better. From there, you can then transfer and see, what does that sound like in a downtown LA nightclub? Do you want, and then you put the bass in this, you hear what your song sounds like in a nightclub. You can then switch from that. What does it sound like in an electric car? What does it sound like in a petrol car? In a,
get 10% off, type Jimson.
Mate, Slate, holler at me, endorse me, man, endorse me. Then from there, like you go from there, you can then go to Boombox. You can then go from Boombox, you can got like, you've got the Apple AirPods. On the AirPods one, you've even got, do you want to listen to the wireless version or the wired version? You can flip between them. All without taking your cans off your head.
Oh, man. Can you tell the difference though between it all? Like, when you're going...
Sounds different.
Yeah,
sounds different.
Oh,
like,
man.
Then that's, it sounds like, I haven't gone to the extent of putting like an AirPod in one ear and a fucking like from the other to see like how
close it is.
Because I don't think that makes much difference. It's more the fact of you've got these environments.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They might not sound exactly the same, but they probably sound closer. They sound close enough, I guess, for you to differentiate them. Like, because when you're in Archon Studios, from NRG, you've got the you've got your NS10s.
Okay.
Then I don't know what ones they, then you've got the midfield range, then you've got your subs, and you've got the three buttons at the bottom. And you just click each one. So like, want to listen to the NS10s, want to listen, so you can listen to the three different speaker systems within the room.
Which
is just like, it's just great. Like, because before, like back in the day, you'd be like, bounce it out, put it on the phone, go in the car. What's it sound like in the car? Yeah, right, yeah, put the headphones on my phone. What's it sound like that? What's it sound like on the phone speaker? Like, you just sit there and it's like,
it's mad, mate. It's mad, like what technology's doing nowadays. Like how you can put yourself in the environments. And it's not cheap, is it? Like when you look, when you think of like hiring these rooms to go to, like, listen to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you say,
how much are those headphones?
£400 and something.
Yeah, I see.
There you go, like, Slate, come on, man.
And like you're talking about like with things like this, like. Talking about earlier about working remotely from places.
Yeah, yeah.
With that, you can fucking have a laptop and those headphones. You don't, you could be a world renowned mixer by using a pair of headphones and mixing in hotel rooms and just fucking traveling. You don't need the your acoustics. Room.
Room.
Do you mean it's like? Yes,
100%, mate. That's fucking cool, isn't
it? It is. It's fucking amazing. Like what it's opened the opportunities it's opening up for. The likes of us,
it's the normal
people of the world. And I always forget his name. I think it's Fabio Inglés, isn't it? He's the scientist behind all of Slate stuff. Slate's name,
yeah.
And Slate's the man. He's the businessman. And he's a good engineer in his own fucking right. Like, do you know what I mean, he's a good singer, good musician, but the brains is this Fabio guy, man. He's fucking. I remember watching. An interview on Pensado's place again, and like he said when Slate said to him, he goes, "I want to do this," and it was he wanted to emulate the mixing desks.
Okay,
so it's like so you got the SSL G series on there, you got the SSL E series, you got the Trident desk, you got the fucking you got the Neve desk, you got all the switch on there. And he went to like the server and he goes, "I want to do this. I want to emulate this." And he goes, "Nah, it can't be done, mate. That's fucking impossible. Like, no way it worked."
Yeah.
And then Slate said he had a phone call from him at like 3 a.m. in the morning.
Who, from Dave?
From this Fabio guy. He was being interviewed on Pensado. He said he had a phone call from him at like 3 a.m. in the morning. Yeah. He's like, "I'm sat here. I've done it. I've worked out how we can do it. I've cracked it. We can do it. We can do it." And he's like, fucking, he's like, "Well, cool. Go do it." Like, do you mean? And like, since then, it's been like years of making, but like.
That's mad, isn't it, man? Like. It doesn't he have like has some tutorials, isn't there? I can't remember what's on there. He's got there's another platform in it that you can go and watch like all these things, and he's on there, isn't he? What's it called?
It's Pure Mix or something, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. PureMix.net.
So all those tutorials, if you subscribe to Slate. I'm honestly not a fucking salesman. I'm honestly not a salesman, people.
Yeah, take it backhanders.
But if you like on the subscription level, you get he started releasing samples now as well. So he'll like every month you'll get like a sample pack and it's all free. Well, it's not free because you pay. No, Slate. It's all under the all access pass.
Okay.
So I can't remember what it's like.
He's deep in this, isn't he?
Yeah, I am, mate. I'm deep in
this. Feels like a plug, man. It feels like a plug.
Slate, get me, man. I'm selling this shit for you.
Hey, he's working it.
But it's all under there. So you get like that, and you get all those tutorials are on there as well. Like it's all part of the same package. But his microphone and headphones are. No, microphone's not. The headphones are separate to Slate Digital.
Okay.
So you've got Stephen Slate Audio, and then you've got Slate Digital. Slate Digital is all the plugins that. Mm. And then because he's got his Raven, the mixing desk, which I haven't got, people, so I can't plug that to you because I don't know. But it's again, like, you mean it's like fucking some of them, and they're reasonably priced. You can get them for like £1,000, £2,000, depending on what model you go for. It's a touchscreen mixing desk. Fuck, you can have like all this in front of you. It's all fucking touchscreen.
That's mad.
And like for ages, because he was like ridiculed at the beginning. People are like, no one's going to want that. People want the real pots and pans. He's like, no, not if you can make it fucking good enough. And like the feel, like he's done it to the extent of like when you swipe, like the touchscreen level that he's gone to, or like when you swipe it, like it's like it's the feel and the same tempo. So there's no laggy. You're not like trying to drag like thing. It's like you do it. It's like he wanted it smooth. Like, he said it has to be smooth. Yeah. Otherwise it's not going to work. People aren't going to use you. To make something like this in the digital age, you need to make something that people are going to be like, oh, wow.
A little bit of a vibration as you touch it.
Yeah, so like, I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, like, just smooth. Like you're touching a real fader. Like, you don't want, when you're doing that, you don't want it to be like, oh, it's lagging there. Like, I mean, like, so it's like that. And it's like, to be honest, like now you look at the amount of people that they've got these in these big studios now, and they're like, yeah, fuck that fucking old analog thing. That belongs in a museum. Beautiful sound, but like if I can get that here and I can do that here, and it's like, I haven't
got.
Because I've got the UAD Apollo 8.
Nice, yeah.
Mate, that's something, mate. All, by the way, viewers, if any of this stuff's going over your head like it is mine, don't worry.
It's all going
straight over.
But the
sounds like I don't know, ray guns or explosives.
But the Apollo 8, like, it's too big.
Spaceship.
Like, I want to get rid of it because I want to be able to like move around more. I want the twin. Okay. So the Apollo 8 is universal audio, and what it is, people, ladies and gentlemen, is when you plug your microphones and your instruments into it to record it. So I've got a big fancy one, which is more than I need, and I want a little Apollo twin.
Yeah, that's what I got, man.
Have you got Apollo twin?
Yeah, it's decent made, to be fair. Like, for what? Well, for what I got at home, just a little home studio, so that's what I need.
Yeah, so I want that because it's nice and portable then. So if anyone wants to buy my Apollo 8, I'll sell it to you for a grand and a half.
Hit them up.
There you are.
You can go to space in it.
Yeah.
Straight to the moonlight.
Neil Armstrong, where you at? We got off on a tangent of fucking engineering. Let's go back. Let's ease this into, like, because I want to talk to you about your mindset stuff and your channel.
Cool.
But
cool,
I don't want to talk about it yet. So let's transition to that.
Okay.
Tell me about your trip to Iceland.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was fucking nuts, bro.
When did you go to Iceland?
Right at the start of the pandemic.
Okay.
In lockdown, wasn't it?
In lockdown. So basically, you know when the whole coronavirus just come about?
Yeah.
It was going mad on the news, wasn't it? They're like, oh, borders are getting shut and all that stuff. So basically what I'd done was, from my third year project, I wanted to create a sound piece where it would like immerse you into Iceland. Okay, so the idea was to capture... So I went for like a global crisis sort of thing. That was like the concept of the whole project. And then what I'd done was I went... over to Iceland with Chris, and we were going to go on the whole Golden Globe. Is it Golden? No, Golden Circle was like tour and capture like certain parts of like Iceland, because I thought, makes sense if I can have it. So it was going to be in like a 8.1 surround sound, like immersive audio sort of experience. And I thought I could have all these different places popped around you. And when you stand in the middle, the idea was to be like, oh shit, yeah, I can hear that there, and I can hear that there, and I can hear that there. But obviously it got cut short because of the whole pandemic stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty mad. Like, where we stayed, it was supposedly meant to be like the hotspot of Iceland.
Yeah.
Nobody, mate. The entire country was on a lockdown.
Wow.
Just you and Chris just driving through the vast Iceland.
And that was mad, mate. Like, so we hired a car.
They look beautiful, man.
Mate, it was something else. Like, I'd highly recommend anyone, if you're going to go there, go.
Doddy. Coming to stay with you, bro. So there's I wore his t-shirt on one of the recent episodes. He sent it to me, and he did a track of him. So he's like a electric, and he lives in Iceland. He's he's Icelandic, man. And he's always said, fuck, if you ever want to come,
oh mate, 100%. It's one place you gotta go to. Like, we're lucky really, because we got to see so many different places when no one was there.
To see the Northern Lights or not?
Nah, that was one bit we didn't see, mate.
It was the wrong time of year, was it?
Certain times of year, you got to be there.
And is it summer or winter?
Sometimes you might not see it, innit?
Yeah, that's what they say, don't they? It's like, you'd be lucky.
It's if it's cloudy, you're just blocking it, innit?
Yeah, so, I mean, when we were there, it was just snow. It was mad, mate. I've never seen so much snow in my life, mate. Like, and that's what I mean, we hired this car, and we're driving, and it's something you see on, like, an Apple screen, like...
Screensaver.
That's it. And
El Capitan.
And I was like, you couldn't believe it, man. You're looking at it and you're thinking,
Snow Leopard by Apple.
Exactly. We were going through, right? And I said to Chris, I was like, oh, stop. Because I vlogged the whole thing as well. Mm. And there's one point when I get out of the car, Chris is looking behind. He's like, where the fuck's Jay gone? And I literally got down, I put my camera down on the floor. I wanted to capture it going across. It's a whole blizzard, mate. Just took me. I was like, fuck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's like, it was mental. And this is like a big open area. And I mean, you can't see the roads or nothing. You just kind of got to go by the sort of like just how people have been driving. So there's one point where we nearly...
It feels like a bit of a curb.
It's fucking nuts, mate. But it's, mate, honestly, like the actual place itself is fucking beautiful. Like,
yeah.
And what we got to see of it for the short amount of time we were there, yeah, it was pretty insane.
So were you supposed to be there for longer then?
3 days we were meant to be there.
How long were you there for in the end?
Pretty much a day.
Oh, wow.
We literally landed on the Monday.
Mm.
Managed to go into... They've got a massive church there, a cathedral. Mm-hmm. So I captured like the impulses of the actual church I was recording. Because someone...
Did you make a verb out of it?
That's right, yeah. So he was like, if you get a chance, go into this place and just try and capture the reverb. So we go in. I've got all this stuff. You know what it's like? You know when you see people walking around like with these big boom mics and stuff? Mm. So I was like that. And I was just like, fucking hell, this is a bit weird, isn't it? But you kind of take yourself out of that experience of like people looking at you, because there's so many people with cameras and all this sort of stuff. I'm walking through and I was just like, I'm going to do it. I clapped, and it was just like, this massive reverb tail. And I was like,
The So a guy I know, Fawn Hayes, he's a producer, and he done a tutorial recently. And he done it by popping a balloon.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's pretty good, man.
He done a tutorial of how to create a reverb impulse. So reverb, for anyone out there, again, for all of you who are still with us, who have, if I haven't put you off already, reverb is, for example, when you're in a cave and you hear the reverberations of the hello, oh, but it's not the O's, that's the delay though. It's the bit before it's that, the tau end of what you can hear going off into the distance. Yeah, anyway, that's
you're going to watch this and like, what the fuck are they on about?
Why are you talking about tails and reverbs?
But yeah, no, so yeah, going back to the Iceland thing. So yeah, it got cut short because we went up to the, is it the geysers? You know, the things that blow out the floor.
Mm-hmm.
We went to that bit and it was fucking, it was something else, man. Like, I got pictures and videos I can send you guys, and we were there, I recorded it, and luckily I actually got, it's like you got the water coming up, it's like, pfft. I was like, yes, got that bit. So I thought, you think putting yourself in like that immersive experience, you stood there and all of a sudden you just get this, you can hear it rumbling coming, it's like, when it's going to go bang. But yeah, my missus messaged me, she's like, yeah, basically you're going to shut the borders, and I'm like, oh, fuck. So I said to Chris, I said, what should we do? I was like, do we go back? Or, and Chris was like, he's like, nah, I reckon it'll be fine. So we're like, I'm like, oh, I don't know about this, mate. Like, it's a bit... So we got back and he's like, it's up to you, Jay. And we're watching the news and it is literally just like, yeah, coronavirus is this.
Worst thing you could do. What's the news?
Honestly, it was so crazy. And that's why I was like,
oh my God, the world's going to end.
It was literally that. It's like the end of the world. And I was like, oh, bro, I don't know. If we get stranded out here, it's expensive. Like, I think Chris ended up paying like 70 quid for a steak on the last night. And it was just like that kind of, like their cheap shop over there. Is like the equivalent to Marks and Spencer's over here.
I was like, whew. Yeah, it's like Switzerland's like that as well, isn't it? Yeah. Like, it's fucking expensive, man.
It's nuts, like, and, but the whole, like, the experience of going out there and kind of taking a risk, and, you know, I spoke to my uni lecturer, and I said to him, he's like, it's, you know, it's challenging at the same time. I thought, yeah, fuck it, why not? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. It did, like I say, what you did, what I have seen, what you have posted about it, it looked fucking beautiful, man. I'm really attracted to these, like, vast wilderness type places.
Yeah, man.
Canada, Canadian forests. Amazing. Icelandic fucking just sheer fucking snowy-ness.
Yeah. Oh, man, sick.
The ocean.
Yeah.
Like, just fucking fascinates me. You know, like, when you're on a boat, it's just fucking blue for miles and stuff.
That's all you can see, man.
Yeah, it's just fucking, yeah.
It's
love
me,
it.
Honestly, it's, I want to go back there. I do want to go back, but I want to go back in the summer. I want to experience it because I've seen the snow now and that was cool. Like, I mean, we're walking around and the snow's like up to your sort of near enough at your waist.
Yeah.
And we're getting in it, it's nuts. But in the summer, just as we were leaving, it's like we kind of got all the weathers because it started all like melting and it was like, cause didn't they film Game of Thrones? Out there, didn't they?
They did some of it, didn't they?
New Zealand as well, I think.
Yeah, they had New Zealand, Ireland, fucking everywhere. I don't know where they done the Spanish-y type bits. Maybe Portugal, maybe, I don't know.
Not too sure. But you can see, like, once it all started melting, you can actually see, like, the actual landscape. I was like, whoa, this is fucking cool, man. Sort of shit you see on movies and that, you know?
Yeah, rude.
So I would like to go back and just experience that part as well. And also see the other things. But the main thing why I went to Iceland was because I wanted to capture the melting of the... glaciers. The idea was I wanted to take like this little mic we had, I can't remember what's called now, a contact mic. I was going to put it inside the glacier, and like you've probably seen it on movies and that when they put like a metal sheet and you make the thunder and stuff. So the idea was I wanted to put it inside, say like the glacier, leave it, and then the idea of capturing that sound of it actually melting, that massive crack. That was the main like intention, and like when I sold that to my lecturer, he's like, if you can get that. That'd be sick.
Yeah.
Nah, we didn't, man. Like, it's savage because we were literally at that point where it was like the turning point. We could go that way, go see all these massive waterfalls, or and get stranded, or play it safe. And I should have took the risk and stayed there, but we played it safe because at the time it was like, what the fuck is this going on?
You didn't know what's going to happen.
I know.
And you would have probably been stuck there.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Imagine
to be
if
fair,
did.
You probably would have been.
That's a cold country, man. Like,
Yeah.
I didn't plan enough clothes for this shit.
That's what I mean. I took enough money for the time we were there, but yeah. I mean, probably could have lasted about a week. But after that, I mean, yeah, I don't know. But it was literally it was like a ghost time. But I caught some cool shit there, man.
I mean, it's all well and good in hindsight, isn't it? Saying should have done this, but it's like at that time.
Probably did the best thing.
Yeah,
this is it.
It's like when people talk about, I know we bash politicians a lot on this show, or we bash people in power, but when you're sat there in a room and it's like, you've got to make this decision, and you've got to fucking make this decision now, what are you going to do? You're like, oh, fucking
that's
fuck.
It, man.
It's always going to be a bad decision to someone.
Exactly,
yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, exactly.
It always be a good one for another person.
Did you know what the fucking, I can't remember what was on the TV, it was on in the background. My missus was watching it. I think it was Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
And one of the things that I wish, I need to find out, because I'd love the sample of it. And fucking the guy, he says, politics. He goes, I'm not interested in politics. All it is making one group of people happy and another group of people miserable.
True, yeah, man.
That's all politics is.
You can't please everybody, can you? Like, no.
You know what I mean? It's like, do you make the right amount of people happy, or do you make the fucking... That's what it is, really, isn't it? It's like, if you make more people happy, it's like, that we talked about, like, making the right decision. But, like, I know that you're fucking well into your mindset and shit as well.
100%, man. 100%.
You did the David Goggins challenge, didn't it?
No, it was the Andy Priscilla.
Ah,
that's okay. The guy, man. That's the, I done his challenge. So I done that, when was that? Start of this year. So I seen a guy I know called Starboy. Do you know Starboy?
Yeah.
So I seen that he posted
Cyrus,
it. Cyrus, yeah. That's it. Yeah, man. So Cyrus, like, posted it up. And I thought, that's fucking cool. Because, like, last year, so kind of going back a little bit, when I finished uni, I was like, it's fucking full on, mate. And I was like, I need a bit of time off. Mm. Like, so I took pretty much the entire of last year just to enjoy life, go out. And I stopped drinking, didn't I? I didn't drink for 5 years. So I went completely teetotal, man. And, you know, stopped fucking drugs, stopped drinking, stopped everything. And it done me really well, man. Like, everything I'd done to that point was perfect, because I was like, you know, I didn't fuck up uni, I didn't do anything stupid. Like, it was just like pure focus on that.
You still clean now?
I have a little drink, but nothing else, man. I'm just teetotal on that other side of things. I wouldn't do it, to be fair, man. Like, I wouldn't go back there. I've done that time. I don't want to do it again. I was cleaned up to that. And then I remember graduation, like, I finished and it was in the lockdown, and got a bottle of champagne. I was like, boom, I'll have a bit of that. And that's my first drink. But actually, no, saying that, before, no, I did drink before, actually. I went my stag do. I done, like, my first half of my stag do without a drink. We went over to the Gran Canaria.
And then they ground you down.
Because at first they were all like, you're going to drink? I was like, oh, I don't know. Because I built up such a, like, I guess a strong will inside of me when I didn't drink. And it's like, to... Not necessarily that you failed, but in my head, it's like...
It's breaking that will, isn't it?
Yeah, man. And, like, I'd done so well up to that point. And I still did well up tonight, like, do you know what I mean? But that drink, I don't know. You know what it's like when you go, bro, fuck me, man. They give you fish bowls of just pure alcohol. I was like, fucking... I had one drink. I was like...
Lit.
I admire that, man. Because, like, I always say I want to give up drinking. And it's never the day after I've been drinking. It's not one of them ones. I'm like... It's usually when I'm in a good place, I'm going, I don't want to drink.
Yeah.
Drinking's like the start to the where the badness comes in. And then I do, and I'm like, fuck, I regret that. Wish I didn't drink. It's not something I enjoy. It's this, the what it leads to. But how did you get on the challenge?
Good. Yeah, man, that's good. So, yeah, like I said, it kind of got to the end of the year. I was drinking.
What is the challenge?
So the challenge was 75 hard. And you had to drink a gallon of water a day. You had to stick to a diet. You had to exercise twice in one day, read 10 pages of a self-help book, and consume no alcohol or cheat meals.
Do I exercising twice a day?
Yeah.
Is that 7 days a week?
Every day for 75 days, yeah.
For 75 days?
Yeah, man.
I might try that.
Yeah. Honestly,
I'll sponsor you.
Is it?
First get into it, man.
If you complete that, what will we give him, ladies and gentlemen? What will we give Roscoe if he completes 75 days of the? Who's the challenge? Is it?
It's Andy Priscilla. Oh,
if Roscoe completes the 75 day challenge of the Andy Priscilla challenge, put in the comments below
what I win,
or DM us or something. What he's got to get, and then we can get him to do it.
Yeah, sleep. That'd be nice. Just a bit of sleep on a Sunday, man. That'd be lovely.
I'll do it, man.
I'm pretty much, I think I'm addicted to exercise now.
It's a good thing to be addicted to.
I know. It's definitely better than some of my past addictions.
The thing with addictions as well, it's the craving of wanting something, but it's not. The thing that you're addicted to is never the thing that you're really longing for, is it?
No.
Like drugs, or even like drinking drugs, it's like you're longing for spirit, something spiritual, something you.
They say
you're longing. You're longing for like a more love than ego. You don't want to be who you are. You want to be.
Would they say that drugs and computer games and all these type of things, literally a direct replacement of three things, which is sex, sex, exercise, and food. And that's it.
It's like the chemicals, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That they release. So, like, you know, the dopamine hits and stuff.
That's getting it a lot quicker from that than you are from fucking...
You know what I mean? That's why people turn to these, like I said, drugs and that, because you get it instantly.
Yeah.
You know, when you take, like, coke or whatever, you know, you're getting this nice euphoric feeling, like...
Yeah.
It's coming out.
But you can get that from running.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's just harder.
Yeah.
It is a lot harder.
It's fucking nuts as well.
That song Lazy Way to Happiness that I did, that's like that whole thing was based on that.
Yeah,
okay.
Was it based on the lazy things in life to happiness? Like you can have someone who could be a fucking monk who fucking meditates like their whole life to try and reach this one transcendent fucking, and you can have someone else who just fucking drop a bit of acid and be like, yeah, cool,
I'm reach there, right?
Reach like, there. Yeah. Give me 40 minutes, I'll be there. Yeah. Hit on a DMT. Yeah.
5 minutes.
I'm talking to machines.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking happy days.
Quality.
Yeah.
So how did you find it? Like, was there like any points where like you really struggled, or was it like the first part where you struggled and then it just became like routine?
Nah, it was hard, man. It was like the whole, like, that's what I mean. So 75 hard, it's actually made to be fucking hard. And the routine itself, man, was like, you know, cause I'm still working at this point. I'm still doing everything that you normally would be doing. I think the only time it was really hard, it sounds a little bit corny, like, but it's when I had my dog put down, man. That was fucking tough. Cause you know, that was like my little best friend, mate. Do you know what I mean? And I had it happen that day, and it was like I had to come home, and I was like, I can't be fucked. I really can't be fucked.
You just wanted to eat some shit food, man, and just fucking comfort yourself.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, I just really didn't want to be fucking doing it, or any of that shit, really. But prior to that, I built up such a discipline, and I was like, if I fuck it now, because this is the thing as well, if you start, right, if you fuck it, you got to start from the beginning.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I ain't doing that. I'm starting it properly and going forward.
There's so many people. If you go on Instagram and type in like #75hard, so many people will go through and they'll get to like day 56 and they'll fuck it. And then they got to start from day one again.
Man. What are you still doing? Is it instilled any permanent habits from that you're still doing?
Man. Yeah, yeah. So the fitness, that's a major one for me. I do like pretty much twice the training every week. Twice a day, sorry.
You're still training twice a day now?
Pretty much. I do like endurance training in like my lunchtime. So I'll go home, I'll do, there's a guy on YouTube I follow called Bully Juice. And he just does like a 40-minute workout. Or he does like, you know, you can have like certain areas of your body. You could do like legs or like body or whatever. I'll do that. And then I'll go down to the gym in the evening.
Has he had any influence on you?
Yeah, mate. I think he's quite inspiring to watch, man.
He is.
Yeah, you watch what he's doing, and I think, you know, he's at such a fucking great place, and I think, you know,
mentally and physically, man, and fucking, he's out there, life, he's living life, like, do you mean?
That's what I mean, mate. When you see that and you think, oh, come on, man, like, you know, we're all fucking human, and I think, you know, we can all be at these places.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it just comes down to...
Because he's from Radstock, right?
He
is from Radstock,
isn't he? He's from around there, man.
Yeah.
So, that's what I mean. I think this is a thing as well, mate. When you see people you know, or from your area doing things, you think... Fucking hell, I know I can do that.
Yeah.
If you can do it, I can do that.
Yeah.
Fucking, I might reach out to him when he's back, man. We should get him on air.
Yeah.
When he's around.
Yeah, 100%.
When he's not fucking in Miami with loads of sexy women fucking swinging off of bars, like, you know.
He was on in the DJ Khaled shoot, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, did you see that?
Fucking,
was
nah,
it?
Yeah.
He got himself on that as well. Because that's what I mean. I obviously got him on Instagram. I see him doing all this cool shit. And then I seen him like going into this place, and I seen DJ Khaled on it, and I was like, what the fuck? But he's like, if you watch that tune, I did it. He's like in the background, just like as he walks in through this little beast up against, like perched up against this massive pillar. And I was like, fucking man, like,
that's mental.
Yeah, fucking big up,
man, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Starboy, fucking just want to check him out. He's on 100%. Fucking Instagram, man. He's fucking basically anyone who doesn't know, he's he does like the whole bar spot thing. Kind of sense, but he's fucking really good at it, man. Yeah. He's fucking just put the work in, and he's just fucking living a fantastic life. Endorsements, getting fucking paid for all these things to like travel the world.
Like front of JD Sports.
Yeah, like, man. Do you know what I mean? He's doing it. Fucking, so yeah, fucking big up to him, man. Do you know what I mean? He's fucking, 100%. Yeah. And again, like, I mean, it's like you said, local people. Mm. When you see local people doing these successful things, it's good. And these are the kind of people I think that more people should be focusing on. Mm-hmm. If we can find more of these people,
local stars,
local motivative, yeah, to being people that are doing good things and positive people. Follow them. Fuck the news.
Fill your timelines up with that sort of stuff.
Positivity.
I went through Instagram not too long ago, man. I just got rid of just stuff I don't really interact with anymore. Or
yeah. I did just, that 2 weeks ago, man.
Oh, mate, it's so like refreshing.
See, I need
to look so much better. Now.
I need to do it because like I've gone from like being like on Instagram flat out to like posting once a week when I do a podcast episode, because it's just like. Mm. Got into that, like everything that when I started out, like at the beginning of that show, I was like, don't want to do it for that. And it's like, oh man, I'm fucking in it. I'm fucking scrolling. I'm getting sucked into these narratives and absorbing into it. It's like,
you do.
Step back. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I need a good purge, man. It's fucking
100%.
Again, it's like, it's, something's always like, the trouble is, they know how to trigger you.
They do. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And they know what
you want to see.
Look at this.
Like, yeah.
Oh, no, I'm going to talk. Oh
yeah,
yo, that's quite big.
Keep going, get rid of it.
Like it's about fucking shit. Like, is the what about your workspace? Because like I can imagine you're very in your work environment. Have you got like a very minimalist sort of like desktop and shit?
Like on my computer and that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, to like cut out the distractions of like these things. If when you go on, is it ready for you to like boom, let's produce rather than like I don't know, fucking loads of. Chill, let's listen to that or let's watch that or whatever.
To be fair, like, yeah, I have moments. So, like, I work best when I've prepared. So if I've gone on, say I'm going to make, so say for example, tonight I'm going to go home, I'd have to make sure I made, like, a template or something ready for me, because like, I create better when it's all there.
Ready to go.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Taking the thinking out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So you haven't got to, like, I need some more channels. It's like, no, the channels are there.
Yeah, it's all there. I need these samples of these drums and these type of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. Do you know what, actually? I think the one time, you know that, it's like, what was it called? Those Days? Where it's kind of like starts off drum and bassy and then it changes into hip hop.
Okay.
That tune that I made. It's going on the new album.
Oh, Those Days.
Those Days. Yeah. So that, I think that tune was the first tune that I ever made where I sat down and I was like, right, I want to make this sort of tune.
Mm.
And I got those sounds all together. And then I was writing as I was making the beat. Mm-hmm. So I was writing the lyrics to the beat with the poetry, intro and all that. And it's probably the most creative I've been with a song.
Yeah, man.
I like that song.
Yeah.
It's because it's all there. You take out the technical aspect of like, I need this, I need that. Or because you can get lost. I do, man. Like I get lost in thinking like I need more of something or... Oh, maybe this will work. But if you limit yourself...
Before you know it, you've sat there for a half hour listening to snares.
Yeah, this is it, bro. Like,
Nah.
It's all the same fucking...
Yeah.
It's like, man, it does your head in.
So many times I've done that.
Or I listen to like a kick. It's like... Oh, that sounds a bit low.
Actually, but the trouble is, I do that, and like, that sounds good, but then it's not the kick you're ever looking for because you've got so confused with all the ones you've heard before. It's that sounds shit in the track.
You lose focus on what you were going for originally.
Yeah.
It's too much choice.
Yeah.
Exactly, mate. But yeah, I think like going back to what you said, mate, like in terms of like workspace, I try and keep it all. If I'm going to make something like music wise, then that's what I'm going to go for. Keep it like quite chill, not too much going on, because otherwise there's too many distractions, man. You look into it and you're like, fucking hell.
Don't fucking hell.
Fuck jeez.
These are flying by.
Mate, we're talking about spaceships and rockets today.
Tongue goes quick, bruv.
One must go.
Right, I'll do the first three. Slate Digital or Universal Audio?
Ooh. I'm going to say Slate.
Has got to go.
Oh, it's got to go? Oh, no. No, I'd say UAD.
Got to go.
Wait, was that the one that you were just promoting all the way through?
No, he kept Slate.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Jinx got rid of Slate.
Did he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Oh,
interesting.
He chose Universal Audio. But he said he uses more of that.
Right. So
they're both fucking brilliant.
That's sick, man.
I
mean,
it's a hard one.
Right.
They're both fucking the top. For the emulation game, they are both the pinnacles. That's why it's Sam Harris or Andy from Headspace?
Don't know, bruv. Who? Andy from Headspace.
The meditation app. Do you know him, the monk guy?
Nah. Oh, yeah, no, I do know him, actually. Yeah. So I'll probably get rid of Sam Harris, mate.
Got to go or stay?
Go. I'm into my meditation, so.
But Sam Harris has also got the meditation. He's like,
he's got a meditation
waking up. Sam Harris is what I use. I went from Headspace to Sam Harris. He's like, that's his thing. Like, he's, yeah.
I don't know.
I'll link you to it afterwards.
Yeah,
I thought you know that one, but yeah, no, I'll link you to it. You'll like it. You'll like it. Because the thing, good one with his one, with the waking up app, Andy's is very repetitive and it's just like fucking same thing. His, he's got like people and he has like talks on there and he has lessons on there and then he has the meditations as well. It's good. Wake up's a good one.
Yeah, link me, man.
Liquid.
Yep.
Or jump up.
Which one's got to go?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's fucking tough, that one, man.
After the start of the conversation, as soon as he started saying that, I was like, yeah, don't say minimal, because that's too easy.
If one had to go, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's like I wanted to sit and chill and listen to some stuff. I know like you can get more deep with the liquid, but I'm gonna go with, oh fuck me, I'll probably get slated either way, shall I go, innit? Like,
yeah.
I think I'll stick with my guns, man, and probably stick with jump up. Yeah, that stays. Liquid goes.
Liquid's gone. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
bath bombs or scatter cushions?
Oh, fuck. Which one's got to go?
Yeah.
What do you mean by scatter cushions?
Scatter.
Like
scatter.
Cushions. Like
everywhere.
Yeah, it's cushions. Like.
Cushions got to go, man. I've got too many in my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep the bath bombs. Come on. You know.
DJing or producing?
Ooh. I'd probably say I'll keep...
To be fair, you can't DJ without producing.
No, this is it. So I'd probably, if I had to scrap one, it'd have to be the DJing side.
Maybe let's change the question. Engineering or DJing?
Oh, shit. I get more from DJing, so I'd probably keep the DJing, scrap the engineering.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
That was five, innit?
Yeah.
Oh, and finally, your personal meaning of life.
Personal meaning of life? It's going to sound cheesy, but... just live in the moment, man. Be present. I think the more you can be present right now, you can just take so much more in, do you know what I mean? Too many of us get caught up in the in the past and the futures. I think the more you can ground yourself, that's life, isn't it? Just being here now.
Learn to witness your thoughts and let them pass by and crack on, focus on the now.
Yeah.
Love it.
This is it, mate. That's my, I think, you know, if I was to ever do that, it'd be, just being here right now, embracing what's happening right now.
Yeah, man.
And just trying to take as much as you can from it. Learn.
That was
episode 18.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was episode 18. J.A. Scott, a.k.a. Manuka.
Big up,
man.
Bless up, man.
Safe.
Yeah, safe.
Safe.